Well, I want to let you know, as we continue through this Lenten season focusing on prayer, I continue to pray for you. I mean, I always have prayed for you, but I don't know if I've ever really let you know that before. I mean, sure, there are specific moments when I tell someone going through a rough spot or dealing with a crisis, you know, that moment of, you know, you'll be in my prayers. Or often I'll end a conversation when I'm meeting with someone pastorally with, is there anything I can pray about for you? But on a broader scale, on a communal level, I think it's important that you know that I pray for you. And I would be grateful if you would join me in that. Pray for the people that call our congregation home. The people that sit beside you in the pews, the people that greet you on your way in, the people that care for our children, the people who offer us music each and every week, the people who sit silently, those who speak prayers aloud. Pray for the people of our congregation. I also invite you to join me in praying for our neighborhood. You know, the people we sit in restaurants with. The people who wave at us from their front porches as we walk down the street. The people who bike or push their strollers around Sloan's Lake. The people you share a property line with. The people you invite over for barbecues. Pray for the people of our neighborhood. And while we're at it, we should pray for the people who used to live in this neighborhood. Those who haven't been able to stay. Those who had to find a place with lower property taxes. Those who couldn't live on their own anymore. Pray for the people who used to call our homes home. Or perhaps as you gaze at the city skyline, you could pray for the people in the high-rises and the people standing on the street corners with cardboard signs. You can pray for all of those who offer leadership to our city and our state. Or maybe as you look at that beautiful mountain horizon, you could pray for those who are hiking and biking, skiing and boarding, those who plow the roads and those who groom the ski trails. What an amazing list to consider. Praying for the people we know and love and praying for people we've never met. Though that does leave some people out. Praying for people we know and we love. Praying for people we've never met. But what about the people we have met but just don't love? The annoying people. You know, the obnoxious folks. The incorrectly and overly opinionated people, the self-centered, egotistical, arrogant jerks. People we love are easy to pray for. People we don't know are surprisingly easy to pray for because in our mind we can think that we would love them if we knew them. But those other people, oh, those other people. And I tell you, it seems like our world is getting more and more full of other people. Have you noticed how much deeper the divisions are getting? Have you noticed how much further the polarization is stretching us? The extreme edges seem even further apart, and it feels like we're going to be ripped at the seams because of it. There are a lot more us's and a lot more them's than ever before. And it's because if anyone wants, we can completely surround ourselves in a giant echo chamber of opinion, hearing nothing but affirmation of being so much better and smarter and sensible than the other people. And that's exactly what Jesus is talking about in our scripture today as he sat on this nice mount and preached one of the best sermons you'll ever hear. Last week, I encouraged you to go home and read all of Isaiah 40 because there was just no way I could fit it all into the day. I'm not going to fit all of the Sermon on the Mount into our scripture reading today, as it's like three chapters long, but it's totally worth reading. Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Find the Bible in your house, sit at work and Google it, it'll pull up, take a read. It's some of Jesus' best work. And hear what Jesus says about praying for those other people in chapter 5 of Matthew. You've heard it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who harass you, so that you might be children of God in heaven. For God makes the sun rise on the evil and the good. God sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what good is that? Don't even the tax collectors do the same? And if you only greet your brothers and sisters, how is that different than anyone in the world? Don't even the Gentiles do the same? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Loving enemies and praying for those who harass us. This is an important invitation. Now, I do appreciate the simple presentation that Jesus offers, right? Love your enemies, pray for those who harass you. But then he sort of sets it up with the reasoning, like, that's easy. What's easy is loving people who love you, right? Like, come on, anybody can pull that off. We want just a little bit more than that, right? It's easy to like the people who like you. It's easy to pray for the people you know are praying for you. But we can do a little bit more, right? He just sort of lays it out there. But then he really digs into this, and there's this deeper piece he lays in. It's actually so much more in his words. I tell you, one of the hardest truths in Christianity appears in this scripture. It is one of the hardest things for people of faith to really accept. And Jesus puts it this way. God sends rain on the righteous and unrighteous alike. I mean, did you catch that? God is still taking care of all of the people that we don't like. In fact, God even loves them. The people we can't stand, the people that drive us crazy, the people that are outright mean and sometimes have even hurt us. God still loves them. Those people who disappoint us, who annoy us, who harass us, who anger us, God still loves them and is offering them the exact same grace that we get. Jesus points this out and then has the gall to ask us to pray for them. So they get God's love and grace just like we do, and then Jesus wants us to love them too? That's going to take some prayer. Oh, that's kind of his point. That is going to take some prayer. Loving those we don't get along with, loving those who have hurt, persecuted, or harassed us, that will take some prayer to change us as much as to change them. Love your enemies and pray for those who harass you, Jesus says. You know, the thing about prayer is that when we pray for someone, we are acknowledging their humanity. A few weeks ago, as we were talking about joys and concerns and these other moments, I wanted to make sure to acknowledge, and I want you to hear this again, that when someone expresses a pain, a need in their life, in that moment where it sort of hits your heart and you just have empathy and connection, I think that is one of the most beautiful and powerful forms of prayer that there is. Because in that moment, you have connected with that person. It doesn't take a dear God. It doesn't take an amen. You have connected. It's the same way when we pray for those who persecute us. Because prayer makes us acknowledge someone's humanity. Now, when we're talking about praying for those who harass us, dear God, make them less of an idiot, does not count. In fact, unless you're much closer to that whole be perfect as God is perfect thing that Jesus mentioned, it's my recommendation to you that you pray without an agenda when it comes to praying for those who persecute you. Praying for those who have hurt us, praying for those we cannot stand is a very difficult thing to do, and we are ever so tempted to hijack the prayer with our own baggage. Dear God, let me tell you what they need to do. And so instead, I simply recommend, dear God, I'm praying for so-and-so. You asked me to, and I'm doing it. Or one of my frequent prayers, God, I don't know what to pray about for this person, but I trust that you do. When we pray for those other people, when we pray for people who have hurt or disappointed us, it's an opportunity for us to move from the pain and the conflict and the difference and connect with something bigger. In that moment, we get to connect with a God who loves us in the midst of our pain and brokenness and trust that God's love is working on us and them. In doing so, we are opening ourselves to prayer's most powerful effect, that God's grace and love will change us. God, I don't know what to pray about for this person, but I trust that you do. And while praying for those who are hard to pray for, you might say a prayer that they're praying for you too. Amen.